Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Purify my heart, make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan, and I submit totally, God, my world is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard, but I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord, cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none, just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say, but I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real, and help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. If this your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard, but what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live, and she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family, and the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me, feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck go down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt me. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off me. Killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostles. So please grant to me success, Lord, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to greet you all once again In our nation's greeting words of peace, we say it in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. And we are so honored to be back with so many of you on a Friday night. Good to see a lot of you out there tonight. And we are awaiting Student Minister Tony Muhammad's arrival. He may be running a little late, but inshallah he will be joining us soon. But we will not miss anything because we have a brother who is well-studied, who is up on current events, and he has really, really put forth a lot of effort into bringing you some very profound information tonight as it relates to blacks and Jews and as it relates to the recent comments made by Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. So, okay, I'm sorry. I thought that was his number. So just sit tight and listen to what our dear brother has to share with us. Listen to the situation that is going on in our sports world and think about the future of your children and their interested in going into this arena, the things that they could be facing. So maybe it's time for us to start being more creative and do some things for ourselves. So I'm going to shut up. You know that's my logo on this show. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to turn it over to someone who's very capable, our dear brother, our dear minister, our friend, our soldier who sold 300 final call papers last week, original salute. And thank you, Brother James, for being such a magnificent helper of the nation, and the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. I present to you Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. And it is my great pleasure, privilege, and honor to return the greetings to you, dear sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, my wonderful companion in the struggle and in the mission of the resurrection of the dead. I can never thank Allah enough for the wonderful, for you and the wonderful forum that you have extended to me via this show, Put on the New Man. I know that the appreciation for what you have done extends far beyond me and into our listening audience. But I must always recognize who I am the beneficiary of, the great, great work of our dear sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All praise
and I
want to
all praises due to Allah. And while we are awaiting our dear beloved brother, student regional minister Tony Muhammad's arrival, which I'm sure will be very, very soon. He's very, very busy. Last night I spoke with him, and he was on his way to a very important meeting with some NBA players as well as others, key players, sports world. And, of course, all concerned about what's going on in L.A. at this time. But he did confirm with me that he would be on the show. So he's a very busy brother. And those of you who are subscribers to the Final Call newspaper, you see the headlining article in the paper on page 3. And, of course, it features a picture of our brother leading a protest. He has the bullhorn in his hand, and he is representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan outside of the Staples Center. Of course, those of you who are following the news, and I think that's probably everybody, you know pretty much what's going on there with Donald Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers. But let me begin seeking refuge in Allah, evoking the help of Allah in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but He. I bear witness to the oneness of God and to the oneness of his prophetic community. As a Muslim, I believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, and the Injil or the Gospel, what is commonly known as the New Testament. We believe in Moses and the Torah, or what is commonly known as the Old Testament. And certainly as Muslims, we believe in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah 1400 years ago and the revelation of the Quran. As students, which I am a student, in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we can never thank Allah enough for his intervention in our affairs, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great Mahdi, the self-guided one. And we thank him for raising up from our midst his messenger, Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. I know that very few anticipated that he would be a black man from among the former slaves, and certainly even fewer anticipated that he would be a Muslim. We thank Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom he fashioned and shaped Pad One for this critical and prophetic hour at which we have arrived. Let me say, the hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of not only the wicked, but also the righteous, and the hour of the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my great honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you, my dear Sister Queen, and those of you who are in the listening audience. We greatly appreciate your participation on the phone, as well as your participation in the chat rooms every week by the thousands. We are so thankful to Allah for you, dear family, and we want to greet you with the greeting words of peace. We say it once again in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wow,
and dear family, while we are awaiting the arrival of our dear brother, student minister, Tony Muhammad, I want to, as we regularly do, traditionally do, give scriptural support to the theme that we are dealing with, which we have been dealing with for the past two shows. Now, this one will make three, culminating a three-part series on the revitalization of reparatory justice. That is to say, reparations, the revitalization of reparations, and centered upon recent events that have developed in Los Angeles, specifically dealing with one Donald Sterling's exposed and revealed statement by his young girlfriend. And so, before we get on, let's give the scriptural support. We'd like to read from Psalms. This scriptural support will deal with both the conspiracy against black people as a nation, and secondly, the solution, which is separation. We'll be reading from Psalms 83. Psalms 83. Those of you who have your Bibles in front of you, please Grab them and follow along with me. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. A prayer against those who oppress. This is the subtitle. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in their remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, a conspiracy. They are confederate against thee, meaning they are of one mind, working in a conspiratorial effort against those whom they wish to cut off from being a nation. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us that he was in a movie with Mother Khadija. It was a movie regarding, this was some time ago in the 80s, this was a movie dealing with the assassination of President Lincoln. And while he was in the movie, he heard a voice saying, read Psalms, read Psalms. And then he said in his mind, what psalm? And he said in his mind, a clicker went off. You know those wheels that have a clicker on them and they stop at a certain place given the momentum of the wheel. And it stopped at Psalms 83, that Psalms that I just read. This, we now know, was Allah God speaking to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was not at the time necessarily speaking. And so he was being told, keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head, and they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name not of Israel, but the name of Islam. Islam, particularly the nation of Islam, may be no more in their remembrance. This is the conspiracy. This is the culminating, this is the confederate agenda of those who wish to stay in power by keeping the black man and woman down. Now, make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. The scripture says that in the last day, God will make the first last and the last first. He said he would exalt the valleys, not physical valleys, but those who have been living in the valley of the shadow of death, and he will bring the mountains low. He's going to take the bottom rung of the ladder and raise it to the top. And the stone, the scripture says, that the builders rejected will become the headstone of the corner. This is referencing the black man and woman, particularly in America, but black people all over the world. It is our time. And the wise of the enemy know it's our time. So all of what they have been doing and are doing is to delay or to stay the prophetic rise of black people. This is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important that regardless to class or creed, regardless to faith expression, regardless to land or label or religion, we must understand that there is but one God and one agenda of that God, and that is the agenda of the rise of black people. So we must dismantle these walls that divide us on the basis of religion, on the basis of philosophy, on the basis of class, on the basis of caste, on the basis of religious dogma. We must dismantle these walls and come together as one, even if it's just on the basis that of the reality that we have common enemy. Now, my second scripture, which points to solution. And before I go into that, I received a text from our beloved brother. He said he was just ending a very, very serious street meeting, and he asked me to give him 10 minutes. So we anxiously await our brother's arrival, and we know that the meeting that he is a part of is serious, and it's bringing those elements that God has come to bring from the bottom to the top together. Now let us read from 2 Corinthians, the 14th to the 18th chapter, the 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, the 6th chapter from the 14th to the 18th verses, and we read, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Or what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them." What? You mean don't integrate? No. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith" who? Brother Farrakhan? No. Elijah Muhammad? No. Brother James? Certainly not. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." I'll say it again. "Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Isn't that something, brothers and sisters and dear listeners? The prerequisite for God receiving us is to come out of them. Who are the them? Come out from where? An angel stood with one foot on land and one foot on the sea. And it is written in the Revelations, this angel cried out, "Come out of her, my people." Not all people? No, my people. Come out of her. Come out of who? Babylon. Well, Babylon has fallen. Why? Because she has become the cage of every foul spirit. A citadel of filth and indecency. There is no level of indecency that you cannot find or sink to here in America. Come out of her, my people, so that you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues. The revelation of the mentality of Donald Sterling, the revelation of the mentality of those in the police department, in the government, and among many of the masses of white, plagues the black man and woman to such degree that we are the last hired and the first fired. The statistics of unemployment are doubled when they reference us. We are appropriated in ghettos. This is not by accident. This is by design. Our children are fatherless. 75% of black families are reared by a black woman. Where is the black father? What happened to the black father? We are killing each other at an alarming rate. How did this happen? Is this by accident or is this by design? Look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or rather the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, writes in What the Muslims Want under the Muslims Program. He writes, number one, we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. We want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. Number three, we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. That does not necessarily mean American Caucasian or European Caucasian. With the best in civilized society. And if we could achieve this in the geopolitical economic framework of America today, there would be no need for number four. But have we achieved this since we've been here in America? The answer is a resounding no. Therefore, number four is absolutely necessary. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace, and God knows, Lord have mercy, God knows we've tried, but since we cannot get along with them, meaning white people, in peace and equality after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete and separation, or rather complete separation in a state or territory of our own. That was rather a long talking point, but I wanted to use the time up so we could get Queen, are you with me?
Yes, I can hear you. We can hear you now.
Oh. Okay, I was trying to use that 10 minutes. so that we could bring our brother right on.
Did he say he was calling in, or does he need me to call him?
I don't know if he has the call-in number. He did say give him. Okay, you gave it to him recently?
Yes.
Okay, he says, I'm ending a serious meeting, so street meeting, so we will await our brother's arrival. In the meantime, those of you who have been following the news, brothers and sisters, and those of you in the listening audience, I'm sure you're well aware of the recent...
Ready.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not ready.
All right, well, very good. Let's roll on until he arrives. I'm sure, as I was saying, that you are aware of the recent chain of events revealing and exposing the mindset of one Donald Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers. Well, yes. The statements that were revealed that he made, very racist, very discriminatory, very horrible. And so the press says, and everyone is in an uproar. But as Minister Tony Muhammad stated in a recent article in the current Final Call newspaper, he said this is just the exposure of a mindset that is pervasive by all of the owners in the NBA, in the NFL, in the American baseball. I don't know the acronym for baseball. I don't watch it. To me, it's an extremely boring sport. However, in all of that sport and play echelon, this mentality exposed of Donald Sterling is pervasive. So the question now becomes, brothers and sisters, I mean, this is not new to us. It's interesting how we rise up in an uproar, not necessarily because, oh, we were taken by surprise. We know how they think in the higher echelons of wealth, in the billionaire stratosphere. We know how they think about us. But we're shocked and appalled when it's exposed, because many in our own community, as think as long as it's kept quiet, it's okay. Don't be so overt with it. And let some of the Negroes climb up out of the bucket so that they could be used in a skillful way to keep the other crabs in the bucket or barrel down. But this exposure of the statements, he doesn't like blacks. Now, come on, brothers and sisters. How many white billionaires do you know like blacks? I mean, let's look at it logically. So it's not necessarily about the statements that expose a mindset that's pervasive throughout that whole genre, but it's pervasive in large part and for the most part in American whites. It's not about that. The question should be, and I'm sure Minister Tony is going to deal with it when we're blessed to have him be on the show. But the question is now, why did Allah God reveal this at this time, particularly in the sports world, at this time? What is Allah God trying to show us? What is he trying to tell us? That the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has been trying to tell us, that Marcus Garvey has been trying to tell us, that Noble Drew Ali has been trying to tell us, that many of our great black leadership in the past and present have been and are trying to tell us. We as black people must come together and do something for ourselves. Huh? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us so clearly of the wealth that black people have coming in and then immediately out of their hands, out of our hands. We would be, I think now it's graduated to the 11th richest country in the world, according to the wealth that comes through our hands. Just doesn't stay there. But look at the statistics. I want to read some of them to you, if you don't mind. I'm going back now to the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when the minister introduced it to us, reintroduced it to us. Excuse me. Give me a moment to get right to where I need to go. Under a section of that article, a reprint or a print of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, titled Statistics on the Dire Condition of Black Life in America, he writes, "Today we find ourselves in dire straits and slipping deeper and deeper into the abyss of poverty and want. And in this latest economic downturn, the so-called Great Recession, blacks continue to suffer disproportionately more than any other people. The following are some statistics. According to America's total wealth, blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population, but own a meager 1% of America's total wealth. America's total wealth includes land, buildings, and business that is on the land. It equals about $65 trillion, and we own 1%, about $650 billion. Dealing with foreclosure rates, Americans are losing their homes to foreclosure at a rate of 1 million a year. 5 million Americans have lost their homes so far, and the black foreclosure rate is 80%, I repeat, 80% higher than the rate of whites. All of the financial gains made by the black middle class over the last 30 years have now been totally wiped out. Listen good. The official unemployment rate is 7.8%. It's inching downward just a little, but in January of this year, meaning 2010, the official rate for blacks shot up over a full point from 13% to 14%, but these numbers are deceptive. Some economists say that the unemployment rate for blacks is closer to 30%. One of every 15 black men is incarcerated. That's 500% increase since 1986. Black-on-black homicide rates. There have been more than a quarter of a million, that's 250,000 black-on-black homicides since 1976. High school dropout rates. The high school dropout rate among our poorest students approaches 60%. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour, but nearly 7.7 million people are known as the working poor, workers who have incomes that put them below the poverty line. In several cities, the jobless rate for black men is well over 50%, and for black teenagers, it was over 40%. There are 49 million people, 16% of the American population, who are now in poverty, and 11 million of them are black. Although blacks represent 13% of the general population of the United States, they represent 28% of the poor population in this country. This is the largest number ever recorded. There are 10 million American children in poverty, whereas 39% of black children under 18 years of age live in poverty, and 32% of households headed by single women are poor. There are more than 5 million more women than men who live in poverty. Well, I could go on and on, but what I'm trying to illustrate, what I'm trying to outline and to underscore is not the exposure necessarily of Donald Sterling's racist remarks, but we must now agendize our destiny. What is the proper agenda that we should now formulate? And if we come to a table with the NBA heads or the NFL heads or the American Baseball Association heads or the heads of the entertainment world, who, by the way, are overwhelmingly Jews. Overwhelmingly Jews. What is the agenda? Is it jobs and justice? I mean, that's what we've been marching for since the great march of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Is it or should it be jobs and justice? Well, the short answer is no. The long answer is hell no. Then what should be the agenda? Oh, I wish my brother was on. I really want to hear from him.
Somebody
I don't
come.
Even, oh, there he is. All praises
to
Allah.
I've been here for a while. I've been on for about maybe 5 to 7 minutes.
All praises be to Allah. Well, I'm going to shut up. That's your line, Queen Aziza. But
that's my slogan.
It's very applicable to me right now. I'm going to shut right up and not introduce as such, but present to our wonderful listening audience, our patient audience, our beloved brother and student, regional, Western regional representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And just let me say this. Wherever the enemy raises his head, you can see a big black fist coming down on that head, coming from the arm of the West Coast. And that's our beloved brother, student regional minister Tony Muhammad. I present to you all our brother. Assalamu alaikum. The mic is yours, brother.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who certainly came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is forever due. And we can thank him enough for raising from among us that Georgia-born black man by the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of whom I think the world will soon come to know. And from those two, we were given another chance in a man that I think is slowly becoming known to the people as an example of all of the prophets who've come in a line of divine. And when you look and see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from whatever angle you are looking at him, he will remind you of one of the notables who God has raised in this world to make a difference for poor, suffering people of their day. So it's an honor, Brother James, for me to be on a show with you and Queen Aziza. I mean, it's just an honor. I haven't been on your show in a while, but I hear a lot of great things about it. So thank you for honoring me and giving me a few moments that I can, if I can explain away anything or share some things, then, you know, I'd certainly be honored to do that. I don't know what to say, but if you would just question me on a few things, and maybe that could spark something in your brother that I can share with your audience.
Certainly, certainly. And the honor is certainly ours, dear brother. And, yes, it's been quite a long time, and far too long you to be absent from this show. However, what we were just talking about, and we were saying that you're going to be dealing with, is not just the exposure of Donald Sterling's words, which indicate a racist mentality that, as you have shared with me in previous conversations, is pervasive throughout all of those who are in ownership positions, not only in the NBA, but the NFL, as well as the American Baseball Association, and in the entertainment world. And what I had said in the way of introduction that you were going to talk about was the agenda now, since God has brought this to the forefront, since Allah has exposed this in such a big way, then what now should be the agenda of black people? And that's we want you to discuss there, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, I was blessed to speak to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last week before the large protest rally that was held here in Los Angeles. And that rally was held in protest of the words coming from the heart and mind of Donald Sterling, who represents a group that thinks like him, who have now been exposed. And people was on the radio station out here in Los Angeles, and I was at home, and I wasn't listening to the radio. I just happened to get home, and the radio station was talking about Donald Sterling and what he said about black people and Latino and Asian. And 8 out of the 10 calls that was coming to the radio station was saying that they wasn't going to move or do anything until they heard from the nation and until they heard from what Minister Tony Muhammad had to say from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
And so to get that kind of responsibility on me to get in touch with what I believe to be the spiritual man of our day, the premier leader chosen by God. See, God have to always choose the leader, because when he chooses, he always chooses the right one, and he don't allow you to vote. So in speaking to the minister about what happened, he talked to me about the seriousness of the time and what must be done. And as you said, dear Brother James, I mean, this is an hour. The scripture calls this hour like this, that we're living in a time like there never was a time and place before.
That's right.
We're living in a time where there's wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and you're going to see all manner of things take place. Well, Constance, this is a serious time. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow this man to open his mouth so that the wind from the negativity of his mouth is hitting on the dry bone called black people? And he said, brother, and when you go, you be serious, because we are living in the time of the spirit of Django. So we can't go down there like no Negroes with our hat in our hand begging for some crumbs that fall off the table of the rich man, because the rich man is about to die, and he is dying. See? So
yes,
he
sir.
Said, when you speak, you don't speak to Donald Sterling. You speak to them all. He said, speak to the entire NBA, the National Baseball Association. Speak to the entertainers. Speak to Fox. Speak to ABC. Speak to CBS. He said, you speak truth to power, but speak responsibility to the victim. And that's what I went to do, dear brother. And then he said that there has to be an agenda that maybe, he said, because we don't know. Maybe what Mr. Sterling has done maybe us enough to where the black athletes, no matter what sports they're in, and the black entertainers, no matter what record label they're assigned to, see if they will talk about going and getting on a retreat to talk about the collective power that black people have based on the greatest human resource we have, which is our talent inside of America.
That's right, bro.
See? He said, and in this agenda, first you got to teach them. He said, because although they are rich, they too still are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He said, you have to show them what is the collective financial power athletes have. See? And show them how their power and their influence can be used to flow power to black people who are poor. Black who are not getting good education, black people where there is no job. So the minister said, maybe the slaves are ready to revolt. He said, and I'm not talking about no physical revolt. I'm not talking about burning down no cities. Don't waste your time with that. I'm talking about revolt against a mentality, revolt against a system that's keeping us oppressed, suppressed, depressed, and all of the other press. Maybe the entertainers will see that the mindset of white supremacy is so prevalent that they are suffering on it and don't even realize it.
That's
and
right.
And so that's what I went to do. The agenda has to be. I mean, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has laid out what the economic agenda is. The greatest economic agenda that has ever been put before the people. Because to your radio listening audience, no, brothers and sisters, we have prayed in, we have sat in, we have protest in, we are the best at singing We Shall Overcome. Can't nobody march like we march. Can't nobody stand up for about, we used to be able to stand up and protest for 3 days because you know, times is so hard, the white man know we'll only stand up for 8 hours now.
Come on, Brother Tony. Yes,
so ain't
sir.
Nobody put their fists up in the air. We tried everything but our unity. Our collective unity. We have not tried that, and we have not pulled the economic trigger. Because
yes,
anybody who is rich in this country called America, they are rich because it is poor people who spend their money. Everybody wax rich off of the back of the poor people who maybe now the entertainers, some of them, and the athletes will rally around an agenda and we lay out what their power is, what kind of financial power can LeBron James bring to the table? As you, brother, were so eloquently laying out those percentages in terms of how we look financially and how we look when it comes to unemployment and what percentage we make up of the American population. Brother, do you know LeBron James, without him knowing the LeBron James brand, the LeBron James machine, him, one athlete alone, he employs, without he even knowing it, nearly 14,000 to 20,000 people. That's
yes,
his brand. All the way down to those who put his logo, his images on apparel, those who make sure he gets to his interviews, the cameraman who's holding the cord, or the man that's holding the camera, those who are setting up the light. I mean, just a whole litany of people. But how many of those are his people that he could have some say-so in? See? So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have said, then maybe we need to help them set the agenda. Because it can't be no Negro meeting.
That's right. Bro.
See? It has to be a meeting where the athletes and the entertainers need to be told what their responsibility is to their people, since all of them, many of them, come up out of the hood. And the agenda have been set for us through the three-year economic program.
That's right.
That have been set up by the minister. And they have to get behind that kind of machine, brother. Because we don't want to get behind no machine where these athletes is flowing money to powerless people who don't have knowledge. But I'll say this, brother, they are calling. I won't say who.
Yes, sir.
But I'll say that they are beginning to make those calls. I have just got out of a meeting with people who heard what we had to say in terms of speaking truth to power and responsibility to the victim.
Yes,
and I believe that there are some athletes who are courageous enough. They're bold enough. Minister Farrakhan said to me, brother, when I told you all that this is the best generation we have, that does not exclude the entertainers and the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what kind of music are they listening to? Many of them listening to gangster rap.
Mm-hmm.
See? They're angry, too. They're ready, too. They just need somebody that they can rally behind. They need a cause. They need a movement that they can rally behind, like Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell. See, that was a movement that they rallied behind, and they was able to flow power to that movement. Well, we're at the brink of that, in my humble opinion, right now, dear brother, that there are some athletes who are courageous enough who are saying, okay, we need help. We need somebody to give us a higher understanding. And those athletes and entertainers that I've been meeting with over the last couple of days, I said, look, the guidance that you need is not financial first. The guidance you need is not social. The first guidance you need is spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
see?
Sir.
Because the spiritual meeting, brothers and sisters who are listening, your spirit is how your energy flow. Without your energy flow, you still ain't got nothing. But somebody unplugged us.
Come on, brother.
And there's a man on the scene who knows how to replug us back into the source of that energy.
Mm.
And I said, he's not interested in trying to convert you to no Islam. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is interested in putting you back in touch with your spiritual self so that you can be fed mentally, because it's the mental knowledge that's going to make you able to handle the responsibility that's going to be laid on you.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, they are listening. Now, where it's going to go, I don't know. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, brother, it may take a series of events. He said, but let me tell you, God is going to keep bringing it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and before long, not too long, they're not going to have no money to make, because God is going to destroy the stock market. Only way we're going to get black people's attention in America is the way God got the Roman authorities' attention, the way he got the attention of those in Nineveh, the way he got the attention of those in Babylon and in Egypt. He had to destroy the money. And destroy
yes,
those countries' ability to trade and commerce. See? So the rich man is beginning to die. Then he said, Sterling, he said, this man, Donald Sterling,
ain't going to just go out. He's going to put up a fight. And he said that Mr. Sterling kept saying, it is my culture. Some of us miss that because we don't know what the word culture means. He kept telling this woman, it's my culture. Are you stupid or something? You don't understand. I got to do this. We're trained to do this. This is the way we are. And what is his culture? He's a Jew. He's Jewish.
Yes, sir.
He said to her, go to Israel. We treat them like dogs in Israel. She said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Jewish people think black people are less than them? What did he say? 100%. And this man is a rich man. Brothers and sisters, don't let the media tell you he's old and he don't know what he's talking about. Bull crap. This Jew is wise. And the minister said, brother, Paul told us that this ain't a matter of flesh and blood. This is a matter of principalities and evil wickedness, huh? And the rulers of the darkness of this world who sit in what kind of places? High places.
High place. Go ahead, brother minister.
That man sits in high places, brothers and sisters. Donald Sterling is a kingmaker. What do I mean by that? Donald Sterling was the one that made Dr. Buss, who's the owner of the Lakers, he taught him how to make money in the real estate game. Seven of the other Jewish owners, of the 30 teams, 18 are Jewish owners. Seven of those Donald Sterling put in there. Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks, he said, slow down, y'all. We're on a slippery slope. Many of us have said things in private. You mean to tell me that what I have said in privacy may come back to haunt me? Come on, y'all. When them white boys are in their little good old boys meeting, they laugh at us. See? So we got to teach them. We got to educate them. The word Clippers alone. Clippers. The Clippers. The Clippers. Go look up that word. That
yes,
was
sir,
the name of the type of a slave ship that was designed in the 1700s because there were many Jewish merchants, even though the Emancipation Proclamation had been enacted, there were many Jews who were, and that's how that Jewish boy was talking. I feed them. I clothe them. I give them home. What he was saying is, these niggas is on my ship. I'm the NBA. They all feel like that, brother. Not just in the NBA, in the NFL, too. We're doing research on how much of that do the Jews control in all of the sports. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if that man don't go away quiet, you will be witnessing the scripture that says this. When Satan start casting out Satan, how then can his kingdom stand?
That's right.
See? So when they go to war with each other, it's over. And our people will see that, wow, I'm being used, man. I don't care if LeBron James is making $80 million over 10 years. What is the owner making? The average NBA team makes a profit just on people coming to the games alone. Not talking about apparel and everything else. The average team makes $20 million profit every year. And the bigger teams making $150 million profit just on the game. I'm not talking about the other things that goes with that that takes them into the billions of dollars. So I think, dear brother, the minister after Savior's Day said, we're not going to hear very much from him anymore. He's
yes,
taught
sir.
Like no man, brothers and sisters, have taught us before. He taught a 50-some week series. He's done. He said, when I finish, it's going to take punishment. It's going to take God blowing the terrible wind on the bones in the valley. They shaking the athletes. They shook. They turned their jerseys around. Well, at least that's a step.
Yes, sir.
See, what are we calling for? Well, we want the NBA to meet with our strongest black leaders who we know won't sell us out, includes the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We want NFL with him and others to carve out a better relationship between the NFL, the NBA, you know, the National Baseball League Association, and how they should interface with the black community. See? He has to be at the table. And if he's not at the table, one of his representatives have to be at the table who ain't got their appetite in their hand. They didn't come to the meeting with the NAACP's appetite, SCLC's appetite, you know, Urban League's appetite. Whoever comes to the table got to speak for all 40 to 50 million black people.
That's right.
He's got to think along the line, how am I going to get every black person their daily bread, brother?
That's right.
See? Can't go. You can't take a hungry man to a chef meeting, brother. All he want is appetizer because he's so damn hungry. All he want is to get a grape.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want no crumbs, brother. We want to talk serious because we got to talk to the athletes, too. We thank you, and we admire you, brothers. Nobody cheer y'all on like we do. And then in every urban cities and pockets and cities where there are black people, there have to be councils, man, and the NBA need to come to South Central, need to go to New York, need to go into Tampa, and they need to talk to us and let us talk back to them.
That's right.
So these are the kinds of agendas that the NFL and the NBA have to do, as well as their sponsors. We got to talk to you, Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you, Harley Davidson. Do you know more black people are buying motorcycles than any other ethnic group? In fact, Harley Davidson was about to go out of business, and it was black bikers that brought them back.
Mm.
See, we got to talk to them. What do you owe us for doing that? Can't we set up a manufacturing plant? Let us make all your handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make the seats. See, these are the kind of talks we have to have. We don't want to have no damn popcorn job where we say peanut popcorn.
Come on, Brother Minister. Yes, sir.
We got to entertain you just to get you to buy it. We got to dance for you. Hell no. No. No,
come
we
on,
want to furnish the peanuts. We want to furnish you with the popcorn. We want you to buy your sodas from us. So it's a lot on the table, Brother James, that this whole, what I love about what this thing has done, it's got black athletes who had never talked to each other talking now.
Mm, yes, sir.
See? And for them to go on a retreat, nothing but black athletes with an agenda that we cannot apologize for making the rich man flow power to the communities that most of us come from. You ain't got to, you can't apologize for that because,
that's
brother, the out here in Los Angeles, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, we're doing research now to see how much money do the NBA give to Jewish causes. We already know that it's over $100 million. That they get from the sporting world and the entertainment world. And that's what makes the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, that's what makes them merciless. That's what makes them strong, because they're only beholden to Jewish people. And you better not say nothing about them.
That's right.
And the next strongest group to them are homosexuals. But they control that too.
Yes, sir.
So you say something anti-gay. Oh, you out. We got to be strong like that. See? And so that's what we want to talk to them about. How did this man fly under the radar when he have a history of mistreating black and poor people? He's got a history of that. This man ain't just now done this thing. The federal government down there had to attack him physically, because even when they sued him for discriminating against people moving into his apartment, do you know, he told them to go to hell. I'd rather pay the fine before a nigga live in my apartment.
That's right.
So he has the slave mentality, brother, and they control the athletes. And lastly, I'll say this and be quiet. Teaching now, and we're going to show the athletes where the Jim Crow laws are still in effect. That under the Jim Crow law, do you know under Jim Crow, the law was to keep the black man as close to being a slave as possible.
That's right.
Under Jim Crow, in many of the southern states, the law that black people had to spend their money the way they say spend it, or they could get arrested.
That's right. That's right.
If you spent your money with a Native American, they could arrest you, tell you, like Mrs. Sterling. See, what we missed was, he don't give them houses. He said he got all these cats planned for him. Guess who they buying their house from? Him. See? Guess who they buying his car from? His Jewish cousin that owns the Bentley places out here. He owns those. So he getting his money back from them.
That's right.
And that's why he's the Lord. And he can say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Because that's who they consider themselves as. And these cats don't know that they are fish and game. Anyway, those are the kind of education. And when I sat with them brothers and I showed them the Jewish history and their culture and the Talmud and how and where the whole thing on the curse of Ham came from, the rabbinical scholars, I mean, they didn't know that. So just feeding them information. How would they know they have a teacher? And how would unless somebody is sent to them? Consider this, brother. Brother Muhammad, you don't want no money, man. Brother, hey, I got to teach you. The minister told me to teach you first. Want your money, brother?
That's
we want
right.
your mind.
That's right.
We need your energy. We need your image. We don't need your money. We need you to be a part of a bigger team. Every time you're shooting that basketball, you should be thinking about what's happening in your community, brother. They had lottering laws in Jim Crow that certain that black could not stand around as a group. They had to always be on the move. And certain on the Jim Crow, there were certain black men, if a black man had been to prison, and if you were caught hanging with another black man who had been to prison, you was in violation of a Jim Crow law. And if you look at the black athlete, this boy from Philadelphia, he's from Los Angeles area. The Philadelphia Eagles getting rid of him because they say he hangs out with gang members. Wait a minute. See, lottering law, vagrancy law. That if you don't act like we tell you to act, then we're gonna take this plantation from you, take this money from you. So, brother, these cats, they're beginning to realize that they are rich slaves. Hopefully, that they'll have enough spirit to say, teach us more. Let us gain more knowledge. It ain't going to happen overnight. And those are the kind of meetings that I have been involved in, from entertainers to athletes. And if it please God, hopefully we'll be able to bring them together with the strong black mind, you know, of people that we can trust that will help guide them and show them their collective power. What kind of power does Oprah and Will Smith and Denzel Washington, what kind of power do they have collectively? See? Oh, my God, brother. Just that group alone could do so much to bring the black community out of despair, it wouldn't be funny.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we're dealing with, dear brother. I hope I hope it makes sense, but I tell you, man, it feels good to see that some of these athletes have the spirit of Django. They're waking up, and they want to be free. And the first thing we got to do is help free their mind, brother, and their behind will follow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Minister. I want to thank you for those words, beloved. And we're very anxious to get our listening audience engaged in this discussion, dear brother.
Sure.
It's just not enough time, which begs the request for part two with you on this. It pleases
Allah.
Okay,
I'll come back next Friday, if it pleases Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, what we want to do, dear Queen Aziza, we want to give as much time as possible. We have about 45 minutes left in the show, and we want to make sure that they're used by through a discussion with our beloved brother and guest panelist, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. So who's out there with their hands up, Sister Aziza?
Well, if I could stop my fingers from moving for a minute. Okay. We have a call from area code 702. Your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
Brother Minister Tony, I have heard all that you have said, brother, and I'm in total agreement with it. You know, here in Las Vegas, we have two brothers in our mosque who are professional basketball players overseas, and they talk about the NBA all the time, and they always let us know it's not painted out to what we may think it is. And you know, I have a son, he's 12, and that same mindset that is in the NBA, it's in AAU basketball, and we have to engage ourselves with that same mindset of, you know, teaching and training our people. We got to make sure that we protect our babies, because it's hundreds and thousands of dollars that is being invested in AAU basketball, and they start with our children in the third grade. And I just want to let the listening audience know it's just not the NBA. It's also AAU basketball. I just wanted to say that, brother. And thank you for all that you have given us this evening, brother.
Thank you, dear brother. Wa alaykum salam. Well, I mean, that's where the slavery training starts. You know, in AAU, you know, and having these young black athletes thinking that they have arrived when they go from AAU to a white college, you know, and the white coaches are in cahoots with the NBA owners. So all of this is a part of their modern-day slave-making machine, you see. And if you go into the scripture, you know, it says it because Pharaoh, he know God. He knows the scriptures of God. He knows how God operates. Don't think that this country and the wickedly wise, wealthy people, they know how God moves too. See? And when the enchanters or the rich man was asking the sociologists and the psychologists of his day, what do the slaves want? Listen at what they said. They want to share in your wealth, and they want nearness to you. Look at how we teach our children. Brother, if you go to Duke, you done arrived. If you go to Syracuse, you're there. When I came up, if you went to Grambling, you was this. See? If you went to Southern or Tennessee State, trained as a young boy to buy for these plantation makers and these slave makers. They don't care how much money they got, because every one of these athletes give it right back to the Jew. It is the Jew that's giving them their jewelry.
It's the Jew that's selling him
his car. It's the Jew selling him his house. He put his Jewish daughter around the Negro to get the rest of the money. And she sue him in court and take everything he got and divorce him and marry a real Jew boy. So they got it all planned out, brother. See, everything they do is a plan. They'll make you think it ain't a plan. They'll come to you in the name of help to hurt. So all of these AAU, see, and this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, start our own league of youth. start back funneling and routing our children to the black universities and make them more responsible.
That's right.
Larry Johnson said we need to come up with our own league. That's real. So there's a lot, but you're absolutely right, brother. Just watch your child. Any of you who have your children in these AAUs, you know, make them respect themselves, you know, and respect their people, that no matter where they go, they are responsible for their people. Because you see what they make. They make people like, what's this boy, this basketball player that be on TNT from Alabama? Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't no role model. Wait a minute, brother, you a poor country boy from Alabama. You wouldn't have got to play professional basketball if there wasn't somebody he was out on the court saying he was. You are wrong,
mm-hmm.
but to deny it, and that's the kind of thing they teach these boys. That's why we don't have a modern-day Muhammad Ali. We don't have a modern-day Jim Brown, because they done decoded these brothers, and they done took the spirit of Kunta Kinte out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they ain't running
yeah.
from the plantation no more. They running to them and holding their hands out and saying, chain me up with debt. Chain me up with jewelry. Chain me up. And that's what these niggas got around their neck. Excuse me, y'all. Chain. Gold chain.
Yes,
with
sir.
Diamonds in it. That's from the Jews.
That's real, though, Brother Minister.
Yeah.
That's real. Well, thank
next
you.
Caller.
Yes, sir. Let's keep rolling. Sister Ziza, I know my sister is busy working that chat room.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Early call 443. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm glad to be a part of the show. I just wanted to just come in and say some things. There's something big that happened today in the business world. Dr. Dre stands to be the richest or the first billionaire rapper selling his beats by Dre for $1.3 billion to Apple. Dr. Dre, I want to put this out there. Dr. Dre is a man who is probably worth about $500 million right now. He's about to close on a $50 million estate somewhere out there in California. I'm bringing this up because Brother Minister brought up a good point. Brother Minister brought up a good point about how when we get this money, or when they get the money, they always have a place for us to go spend the money. The reason why that is because what they're in the business of doing is not just making the Jews, I'm talking about, and the other white compatriots. What they're in the business of doing is not just making themselves rich, but they're in the business of making others that think like them rich. Okay? I'll make it real simple. We in the Nation of Islam, or we in the nation, need to make more wealthy Muslims. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, thank you. Thank you, dear brother. Well, you're right. I mean, they allow one or two of us in, and we become slave catchers for them. So Dre is a slave catcher. And Dr. Dre, instead of giving $65 million to the city of Compton, the city that he got his riches from, he gave $65 million to USC, you know, to help them get scholarship to white children because, you know, now there is no more affirmative action, so they don't have to get a scholarship to nobody black. So you're right, brother, you know, but we are going to rise up. With the help of Allah, the nation will be producing millionaires when we get into the science of business and learn all of, not just the science of business, the science of war, the science of mating. There has to be a generation or a group among us who I believe Master Farah Muhammad will exactly open the door to. Not only will we grow millionaires in the Nation of Islam, but I believe many millionaires are on their way to join with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to happen. We're going to win, you know. But that's beautiful.
you know, so thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for your comments there, brother. Let's keep rolling.
All right. Someone from down in your neck of the woods, Brother James. Florida, 6107, my last four numbers. Your mic is live.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Waalaikum salam.
Hello, this is Brother Johnny Muhammad. I just would like to give the greetings to everyone, and thank you so much for the venue, Sister Queen Aziza. I happened to be on last night, and you back-to-back had like three of my family members on the show, and it was very enlightening, and I thank you very much for the venue. I was trying to get on last night, but it was a little too packed. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I give the greetings to my big brother, Minister James.
Assalamualaikum, Brother Johnny.
Really good to hear you, big brother.
To the family, please, brother.
Yes,
yes
sir. I will, by all means. Just so you all know, he's one of the brothers that's really responsible for me and my family members being a part of the Nation of Islam. He's a brother who really inspired me from the very beginning of my sojourn in the nation, and I used to follow him around. So he's one of those brothers. And Brother Tony, likewise, thank you so much, brother.
All
I got to see you last time you were here in St. Pete, and I really appreciate you, brother. Keep the fire coming like that, and we'll be with you fighting, brother.
Thank you so much, dear brother.
Yes, sir. And I just wanted to ask a question and throw something out there just as a blanket statement. Minister Tony in particular, and Brother James, you're familiar with the area, so I know you know as well. I just need a little advice and counsel on it's one of those times for me now where, as you know, Brother James, I work with a lot of the youth, and a young man who was here a couple of weeks ago, and he killed the young man in front of the store. That was my nephew, Oliver Solomon's best friend, and one of the kids that we work with here in the area. I'm sorry, one of the children. He's not a child, he's a young man. But and it's just like that the death circle is just starting to circle around us again. I found out today another of my nephews, you know, was involved in an incident where he killed a young man, and there's just been, you know, that vibe going on inside of our circle again. And I didn't, you know, I'm just like just kind of caught back by it right now. I'm trying to find a way or just get some advice on how it is, you know, just to quell it, or if not anywhere else in my own mind, and what I can do to reach out and help them to some extent as well. I believe Sister Kimberly is probably on the line as well, and she's sort of in the midst of it. So
Assalamualaikum, Sister Kim, if you can hear me.
Yes, sir. But that was really heavy on my mind. So any advice you can give me, you know, to go back and talk. Because the young men, you know, they look and they act like, oh, well, it's nothing. But then I see them, you know, in their private times, and they come and they talk to me, and they're all, you know, really greatly affected by all of it.
Yes, sir.
That was really one question that I had to ask. And just the other thing, too, you know, I do with a lot of the athletes, and there's some here now, and I've been asked to talk to a few of them, and my attitude is not what it used to be. I'm almost like seeing a lot of it as useless. I'm getting really worn out with a lot of the brothers. You know, they get into the league, or they want to play, and they do this, and, you know, we help them, we push them there, and then we don't hear from them anymore. Then there's no interaction. They act as though, you know, the minister doesn't exist. So I really don't know how to really deal with that situation as well. It's something, a good friend of mine, his son is here playing for the Bucks now, and another one who I used to coach, Teddy Bridgewater, just got drafted. And I talked to their families, and Tommy has asked me to counsel his son, but I really don't know what to tell him, because I'm sort of like in an anti-mode right now. I really just want to tell him, man, find something else to do, man. Get a trade. Give you money to do your economic program. So I really don't know what to say to anyone right now without being offensive and very non-productive. But thank you for
thank
your time.
You.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, well, Brother Johnny. I'm going to allow Minister Tony to answer your questions as much as he can.
Yes, sir.
Given the time. And then, of course, you have my number for later on. And, you know,
yes, sir.
I mean,
we'll definitely be seeing each other,
yeah,
big brother.
So you can call me, talk with me, we see each other. But definitely, Minister Tony, please,
sure,
if you would respond.
I'll start
you
with the last one first.
Yes, sir.
And, dear brother, when you're dealing with children,
yes, sir,
you know, you're dealing with our people. And this is why in the Bible speaks a lot of agriculture.
Yes, sir.
And God wants us to look at the physical manifestation of what's in the universe to give you a higher spiritual and mental understanding.
Yes.
See, so when you're dealing with youth, brother, you have to see yourself as a farmer.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And
come on, brother.
Your job is to take truth, and the truth is like a seed. Just plant it.
Yes, sir.
Plant it.
Yes, sir.
You know? And once you plant it, let Master Farad Muhammad, let God, see, that sun will come up and do its job.
Yes, sir.
The rain will come along and do its job.
Yes, sir.
See? And there will be storms that will come along and blow some of it up to where it wasn't even worth harvesting.
Wow, yes, sir.
See? And that's why the minister have us now going back out in the streets spreading seeds. Because God is going to create the harvest season. And as long as you put the principal seeds of truth in that young man, teaching him who his enemy is, who he is, and what the enemy and how he operates and how he's trained to master you, it may be suppressed, but something may happen with the boy Bridgewater. If we put truth in him at 6 years old, something may happen. In the NFL where he said, whoa, I was taught this.
Yes, sir. Beautiful.
See? And now it germinates. See? Allah is harvesting it. Don't ever get frustrated. You can't convert. No way. So if you take yourself out of the trying to convert business and know your rightful place, you can never get frustrated because what does Allah say? He said, my will not be frustrated.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See?
Beautiful.
So when you know who the source of strength is, get in your place so that you won't be frustrated. I'm not frustrated.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Man, brother, Tony,
I know we're going to win. I just hope I'm still around with my hand on the plow.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir. Beautiful thought. Yes,
so
sir.
Just drop the seed of truth, brother. All we have is the truth.
Yes, sir.
And my example. That's all you can
get. Yes, sir.
Boom.
Yes,
he'll never forget you. In fact, you'll stand out more in his mind than any of his teachers, brother.
Wow. Yes, sir.
See? So just drop the seed. Some of it will fall on thorny ground. Some of it will fall on stone. Some of the seed's going to hit sand.
Yes, sir.
But all it takes is one Django, brother.
That's right.
All it takes is one Django. Be like, God, 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 see? So don't get frustrated, you know.
Yes, sir.
That I'll say that on that. So don't ever, you know, just teach the athlete, man. We ain't in his world. We don't know what he's tried with.
Yes, sir.
See?
You're right. Exactly.
Just teach him. He may even take what you teach him and live a riotous life. But God may bring a famine, and then he'll wake up and remember.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
See? And here he come, the prodigal son, running to the nation. See, are we going to run because he wasted all of his money and riots his life? Hell, he mean more to us than the money.
That's right.
Agreed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See? No.
Agreed.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
And that one, that. When it comes to this killing and the things that you're going on, all of that is planned. There's a higher plan going on around us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it like this, and this is what I say to the young out here.
Yes, sir.
I said, brother, are you all mad? Damn right we mad.
Mm-hmm.
Who you mad at? Them niggas over there. Oh, yeah?
Mm.
Who benefits from you being mad at him?
Right.
See?
Honorable
Minister, and this is how I do it. I said, brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me to warn you. He said, do not allow your anger, your attitude to be a weapon in his hand against your brother.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I take around with me this little book. I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation on how we were systematically brought into this mental Frankenstein condition. So I have a book of pictures because our people are illiterate today. They do not see what you're saying. So when you say, see what I'm saying? Hell no, they don't see what you're saying.
Right.
Show them a
brother,
picture.
Minister.
So I walk around now with a book of slave ships. I walk around with a book of pictures showing how we were stacked in the slave ship.
Wow. Yes,
I walk
sir.
Around with a book of pictures showing a black man in the middle of a country town in the Carolinas standing on an auction block with white men around him bidding for him. I show them pictures, brother, of black men being tied around a tree with a white man whipping them and then showing what dreptomania means.
Yes, sir.
What nacritude means. I show them pictures of women hanging from bridges in Alabama and in Louisiana. I have a picture of an entire family that got hung from a tree with white people standing around pointing at them. I show them pictures of the survivors, the men in Tuskegee, where the Tuskegee experiment was enacted on black men and showing that they even have biological weapons. I show them pictures.
Wow.
1950 in Louisiana, where they was putting implants in the brains of black men and sending them back out in the community, and they would murder up other black people. I showed them pictures, brother.
Yes, sir.
On how J. Edgar Hoover on the COINTELPRO, I showed him what he said. He feared the rise of a black messiah.
Yes, sir.
And they'd be like, damn, but it's in pictures.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Muhammad, but that was back then. Then I flip it over, and then I said, brother, oh, you think slavery doesn't stop? Then I open up the next section. I show next to the slave ship, I show the county sheriff bus, and it resonates. I said, brother, what is the difference in this ship and that ship?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, damn, both of them is taking you somewhere where you're going to have to work for nothing. I let them tell me.
Wow.
Damn, Brother Muhammad.
Wow.
Then I show them pictures of black men in the prison. Now out here in California, they have bunk beds, brother, that six and seven layers stacked.
What?
I have pictures of that.
Wow.
And then I show them how we were stacked on it. I said, what's the difference, brother? I show them pictures, brother.
Yes,
of
sir.
Bloods and Crips getting off the county bus, standing in front of the judge, waiting to be sent to a particular prison because depending on their level of education will determine what prison they go to.
Yes, sir.
I show them pictures, brother. You know, then they say, well, brother, but it was the Klans back then. I show them pictures of a picture of a Klan in hoods, and then I show them pictures of gang members in hoods. I said, what's the difference in the man? What's the difference in the way a Klan thinks and about black people and the way gang members think about another black man?
Yes, sir.
I said, there is no difference, brother. Then I showed them the letter that came out in the newspaper in Philadelphia, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, where the Klan sent a thank you letter to the gangs of L.A.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
I call it.
I showed them pictures, brother. They said, well, how we being hung today? Psych, man. Because when you get hung by a rope, then the rope separates the head from the body, and psych meds do the same thing. It separates your mind from your body, brother.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And then I walk away, brother, and now the mosque is filling up. You got to show them pictures, brother, because absence of mass still leaving with an MU.
Yes,
and an MU means a misunderstood, brother.
Wow, yes, sir. Beautiful
when you
teaching.
Show them that, see?
Yes, sir.
Just
yes, sir.
Show them a book of pictures.
Yes, sir. Well taken.
And that's, again, you got it. It's a seed. Then you walk away, and you come back and check on what you think about what I showed you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful teaching, brother.
So that's
very inspiring.
And it's much, much more, but, you know, you and I, we can always talk, you know.
Yes, sir.
But just teach them. And when you stop trying to convert, watch how they'll stand up. Watch how they get attracted. Don't worry about that. Only God converts. Hell, show them pictures and they run to the church, you did your job.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
So, man, I hope that helps a little bit, dear brother. Just
man,
that
helped immensely. I thank you so much. I mean, you're
right
on point. Right on point, especially with the farming. I farm now just to relax. So you're right on the nose with that one.
But the physical, everything you do in farming, you need to also look at the spiritual and mental manifestation of every time you plant a seed.
Yes, sir.
Come on,
yes, sir. You just brung that to me, brother. Beautiful, beautiful, inspiring teaching.
There you go. It don't grow overnight, do it?
No, sir. No, sir.
But it grows.
I even mess
a bunch.
I mess it up sometimes.
Amen. Well, may Allah bless you and guide you, and I pray that Allah others for listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother Tony.
Be edified by the little simple things we do. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A huge help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you again for the venue, Sister Queen.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you so much for your support.
Yes, ma'am. You're very welcome.
Okay. Now, before we take the next question, I would be so remiss if I didn't do this, but I understand that recently, maybe just as recent as a few days ago, that our beloved brother student, Minister Tony, and his lovely queen, Sister Tanya, just celebrated, what was it, 27 years of marriage, Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am, 27 years
of
marriage.
Praises be to Allah.
Oh, praises be to Allah. Yes, sir. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. We knew each other 8 years before then, so we did it illegal, and we've been legal for 27. Illegal for
all
eight.
Praises.
So that's a total of 35 years.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you, Brother Studeman, Sister Tony, and Sister LaTanya for being a wonderful example for our nation. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Okay, we're going to take a question from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, dear sister?
I am well, Student Minister Andre Muhammad of Grand Rapids. How are you, beloved?
Yeah.
All praise is due to Allah, fine by Allah's grace and permission. Glad to be here, glad to be amongst the living, and glad to be in the Nation of Islam.
I know that's right.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call in and show my support for my big brother, Student Minister James Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Andre. Yes,
my big brother from all the way out in the West Coast, our student regional representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. You know, I've heard a lot about you, dear brother, and I have to, you know, give props where it's due. It was right, brother. You're tough. You're on fire, dear brother, and I love it. All praises
due
to Allah.
All praises are due to Allah. Thank you, dear brother. I can't wait to hear you teach, because I'm sure you got that same fire, because, you know, they said that the ministers is like a flame of fire, that wherever
you see them,
they're igniting fires, man. So I can't wait to hear you and just be with you, man. It's a blessing, you know, to be in this sanctified brotherhood and ministry class of men and women who have the spirit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I believe that Almighty God Allah is going to bless us with a double portion of his spirit, particularly when he ascends, we will leave and we will graduate into apostles. And, you know, those apostles had the ability to cast out demons. So I pray that both of us are in that number when the saints
Allahu
are watching in.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, dear brother. All praise is due to Allah. I pray Allah that, you know, I'm also in that distinguished number as well. You know, I can only follow in the footsteps of those who came before me, and inshallah use that as a guidance for myself, along with the teachings that are being given to us by our leader, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So, you know, I just wanted to call in and give my support and, you know, keep flaming the fire, inshallah, on this trail, because we know that the pathway of a minister is always lonely, but at the same time, very, very busy. We always have something to do. So, you know, it's that the work is always done. You know, you never get a good night's sleep most times, but all praise is due to a lot of work is what keeps us alive. So that's how I see it, dear brother.
Wow, that is so beautiful, man. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, very much for that.
Yes, sir, dear brother. Inshallah. Brother James, I want to try to get on, you know, and help you and assist you in any way possible. I've been kind of busy the last few weeks, but, you know, a lot of
stuff
going on. So hopefully,
you have my number. Yeah, don't you have my number?
Yes,
give
sir.
Give me a call, dear brother. Let's arrange something. All right.
Okay. Yes, sir. I did. I would definitely do that, inshallah. And inshallah, you guys, y'all enjoy the rest of your night, inshallah. And I'm going to continue to listen until this show is over. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Good to hear from you, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's keep rolling.
I'm so excited.
Let's keep rolling.
I have to yield to my people in the chat room. They talking about neglecting them tonight, and okay.
Bring on the chatters.
Okay, so Cheryl says, why aren't black politicians speaking out against these Jim Crow practices? I feel we should hold them responsible for false representation of our people. It is our votes that put the black congressmen and senators in office.
Yeah, well, you know, again, if you're not just putting them in office is not good enough. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that not only should we put them in office, but it is our responsibility to make them accountable.
Yeah.
What we do, we put them in office, fall asleep, and we are under the hope theory. We're hoping that they're doing the right thing. But we don't ask them. I mean, ask us, we don't even know what committees they serve on. We don't even know who's lobbying them and why did you give your vote to thus and such. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said every so-called black leader, whether he's spiritual or political, should hear at least once a year and give his or her report card. How did you
do
and let us grade you?
Yes,
see?
Sir.
Every other ethnic group do this to their ethnic politicians. How did you do? See, Mr. King, who's a Jew, what did you do for Jewish interests? He shows it. We don't do that. We just so glad our black politician is in there being integrated.
Hmm.
See? So we have to hold them responsible. We have to also lobby them. We have to back them financially. But many of these politicians are in the way. These are the enchanters. These are the ones that the government and those that are in powerful places pay for. Many of our black leaders have a string going from their mouth to the rich man table. So they ain't going to speak up for black interests, you know. You ain't heard from not one black politician outside the president on Donald Sterling, and he didn't go too far with that. See, so what we have to realize, and I'm glad that sister asked that question to me. To hell with all of the politician. A politician ain't gonna get us out of this trouble. It's gonna
take a messenger
or a man of God. It's gonna take the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If he gets the total backing of black people, we free overnight.
That's right.
That's
right.
Ain't no sense in playing with it. Ain't no
governor,
ain't no congressman, ain't none of them going to do nothing. It's going to take a spiritual man, a godly man, to get us out
That's
of harm's
right.
way. All black people, no matter if they was in the Nation of Islam or not, back Minister Farrakhan. I guarantee you we wouldn't have no problem that we're having.
Sir.
You know, so that's my solution and answer to that question. Next.
All praises be to Allah. Beautiful.
Yes, sir. And Lynn wants to know, how do we begin to truly separate once we spiritually and mentally separate?
Give me that again.
She says, how do we begin to truly separate once we spiritually and mentally separate from these people?
Well, it's laid out in the economic blueprint that's laid out by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, and we're already basically separated anyway. They don't live among us, ain't but a few of
that's
us.
That's right.
In every urban city, we're separate but unequal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
being, dear sister, once we spiritually and mentally separate, we got to also financially, economically, socially, educationally, we got to truly separate and carve out a piece of America, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to us, that we can call our own. We gotta be able to be the manufacturers of that which we consume. You know, the hair care industry, just in L.A. alone, is nearly $2 billion that black women trade or get involved in commerce for hair. And we don't control not even less than 1% of that money. See? So once we spiritually and mentally and financially separate, see, and carve out our own, be in our own territories, you know, it's going to take that too. I also believe that God's hand is going to come in this too. I believe that it is written parts, if not all of America, is going to be totally destroyed. And
that's
even
right.
Those of us who did not want to separate, you know, are going to be forced to separate. God cannot allow the righteous and the unrighteous to hang out anymore. See?
That's
we
right.
can't hang out with people who will take evil and make it fair seeming and then make you scared to speak out against evil. See? So this whole thing is about to come down, and America will go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Rome, and of Egypt because of her treatment of us. Make no mistake about it. But we are going to make, dear sister, I can't tell you when. I'm not that connected to the God, but I'm watching the signs. We will separate all the way, and it's going to be beautiful. We ain't going to miss a beat.
That's right.
You know, in separating. God is going to do it in his own good time, you know. Just stay right there, and it's beginning to happen. So that's my belief, and that's my thought on that.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Beautiful, Brother Minister.
And we have a question from Lawrence. Lawrence wants to know, he said, Brother Minister Tony said he's met with some athletes. He wants to know how they're feeling about the Donald Sterling situation.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Brother Lawrence says that you had mentioned that you had met with some of the athletes, and he wants to know how are they feeling about that situation.
Well, I mean, they're perplexed. They hate it. But the biggest thing with them is what to do about it. How can what can they do to unite other athletes who may be a little bit afraid, you know? So they're very, very upset, and they see the game. They're involved in it. They see how they're being used. They just, again, they don't have no guidance, and they're looking for right guidance. And as a result of allowing me to represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to them was a step in the right direction. You see, the scripture says it like this. My people are destroyed. He didn't say they were destroyed for the lack of money. We got money. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So I think we're on the right step, that they are accepting some of our ideas, you know, some of our suggestions. It's just going to be how can they then take that back and corral others. So that's how they was feeling. They're upset. But they also know, and this is a question that they're asking, Brother Muhammad, we already know many of the other owners think like this. Now, athletes, black athletes who wasn't even talking to each other about this are beginning to talk to each other. See? And that's what the brother said. He said, brother, one good thing that came out of this, we didn't talk to each other. Because in the spirit of competition, some of us didn't like each other off the court. But now that this white man done said that, we're dropping that in the beginning to communicate. I said, look at that. That's beautiful. Even if we don't do nothing to get that out of it in the first stages, that's a good step.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Next question. Thank you, brother, for that question.
Yes, sir. And Patrice wants to know, will the minister be making a public statement
about Donald Sterling?
I do know the minister is assessing it. He's studying it. And I feel that he will at some point make a statement about it, you know, and know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan controls the Final Call newspaper. So he's made a statement already with the Jewish influence in the world. But I do believe that, you know, once he's, you know, strong enough, the minister was just a little down. I do believe he will make a comment about it.
Yes, sir. Okay, and we have a question from Camilla. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Camilla wants to know, where are we on the economic blueprint, and has it yet been decided how monies will be distributed and where the building will begin?
I have no idea. That information has not been disclosed to me. I think that will be disclosed to us, you know, at our national webcast. That information will come from on high. So I'm not sure. I'm not privileged to that information.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, don't hold.
But what I will say this.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry. Just trust our leader.
That's right.
And I'm not saying the person who asked it don't trust. You know what I mean? But it's going to come in good time, you know. It's going to come in good time because sometimes the minister, we don't let our enemy know every damn thing we're doing.
That's right.
You know, he used to say to me a lot of times when I was trying to do co-ops and all of that, he would say, brother, you need to send a root down before you send a shoot up. Speaking before your ability, or stop speaking beyond your ability to deliver. Don't tell the man everything that you're going to do. Then he knows how to circumvent it. I don't want the minister to tell us everything.
Come on, brother.
Because he's also, you know, when the sons of God came before God to present themselves, well, the devil was with them.
That's right.
Come on.
And look at what the devil was saying. He's standing there with the sons of God, didn't even know the devil was with him. That means then the devil looked like the people who came before the Son of God.
You better teach.
So everybody that's saying As-Salaamu Alaikum ain't in the nation. They in the nation, but not for the right reason.
That's right.
Come on.
And then the God asked the devil, where you going? He said, you know me. I'm going up and down, to and fro. I'm going to devour your plan.
That's right.
So I don't care about knowing what the plan is, because I know among us is some devils. What I do know is we're going to inherit the kingdom.
That's right. That's right, Brother Minister. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah.
Okay, we have one more question. I said that was going to be the last one, but Lynette wants to know, what do you advise for young men who are looking forward to trying to go to the NBA, NFL, and other professional sports?
Say that again.
What do you advise them to do? Young men who are seeking to go into professional sports now, what is your advice to them?
Well, I advise them to look at a movie called The Spook That Sat Behind the Door.